Take your Bibles tonight and let's go back to the book of 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. I've been looking at this Monday and then Tuesday, and I guess it was last evening. I kind of got the thought on my mind, but the Lord just blew it up this morning when I looked at it. Amen. It just blessed my heart. I hope and pray to God that just half the blessing at least that come to me in the study will come to you tonight. 1 John chapter 4, we'll read these first six verses tonight. The Bible said, "Beloved," I like that word, don't you? Aren't you glad when we got saved, He placed us in the Beloved? "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." You recall that these years, from time to time, I will say that, make a statement like this: everybody that puts the Bible under their arm goes to church is not a Christian. And everybody that puts a Bible under their arm and comes behind a desk like this is not a preacher. Well, they might be a preacher, but they might not be the right kind of preacher. Because I can show you in the Word of God where Satan's got preachers too. Amen. So the Bible said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." I think it's a mistake to speak of the Spirit of God as an it. I think it's a whole lot better to speak of him as a he. He's as much God as God the Son, as much God as God the Father, and he is the one that gives us the victory. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." The world will flock to hear these false prophets. The Bible said, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we," and here's my message tonight. I don't know how far we'll get, but we're going to get started. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." I want to talk tonight for a little while on the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John is already in chapter number 3. We looked at, I actually think it was chapter number 2. We said that John was writing concerning the Lord's children. And then John was writing concerning the Lord's Christ. And we talked about the incarnation, how that God became flesh, the virgin birth, and the importance. Some people say, well, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. It makes a difference as to whether you're trusting the Christ of the Bible or the Christ of a false prophet. You see, there's a lot of people that will name his name, but they will not admit that he is who he said he was. They will not admit that he is God incarnate. I think I need to read a verse. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. I'm not sure that I... No, it's 1 Timothy 3:16. I'm not sure that I used this verse when we were going over that. But what John is saying right here is there's false prophets, and they're not admitting, or they will not believe, that Christ came into the world in the flesh. In other words, they'll name his name. They'll talk about him being a good man. They'll talk about the things that he did. There were good things that he did. History cannot deny those things. But by faith, we believe that Jesus is not a created being, but a creator, the creator. when he said, let us make man in our own image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I didn't intend to read this, but I believe God wants me to. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I had a man told me one time, he told me this. He said, if I ever figure God out, I'll trust him. I said, if you could figure him out, he'd be a mighty little God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Wait a minute. That right there said, God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Somebody tell me who that was. Tell me who that was. Sure, I didn't mean to do this. Take your Bible and turn over to Zechariah. I did not mean to do this. I want to get into this spirit of truth and spirit of error, but this is what John is touching on right here. He's saying they're false prophets that don't believe these things. They don't believe that Jesus, the Pharisees understood when he said he's the Son of God, that he made himself equal with God, and they said, you're blaspheming, and they crucified him because that he said those things. Zechariah, I believe it's Zechariah. Look with me at chapter number, I think it's 12. It might be, yes. Look at it with me quickly. I'm going to run through this quickly because I want you to see something. When the Jehovah's Witness comes by, you ought to have your Bible marked. And you ought to ask them what I'm about to ask you. You see, the Bible said not to bid them Godspeed. You don't need to let them in the house. You can stand on the porch. And what I like to do is take their Bible, because they never start out with that New World Translation. They always start out with the King James, trying to make you think that you line up with them and they line up with you. But you give them a foothold, honey, and it won't be long, and they'll pull that other Bible out. They'll pull that other Jesus out. They'll pull that other gospel out. Watch what the Bible said. In verse number 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Somebody tell me who's talking in verse number 1. Who's talking? The Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah, God, is talking. Now watch this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Who's talking in verse number 2? Help me. He's still talking, isn't he? In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone in verse number 3. Who's talking? Verse number 4, in that day saith the Lord. Somebody tell me who's talking. The Lord's talking, ain't he? And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like unto a hearth of fire among the wood. Who's talking? Who's talking? The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. Look at verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Somebody tell me who's talking. The Lord. That's exactly right. The Lord. Now look at verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Who's talking? And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Somebody tell me who's talking. Somebody tell me who was pierced. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. Beloved, listen, there's no way to study this Bible. And if you'll study it with an open heart and an open mind and not come away understanding that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. You say, preacher, that's just a principle doctrine. Yes, it is. You can't be saved without it. You cannot be a God-called preacher and not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus was not born of the seed of the man the way you and I are, but of the seed of the woman, the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary. I know we're coming upon Christmas,
But so many people are missing and the truth. And John said we need to watch out. The spirit of truth. I want to touch on this for a little while tonight. Can I? It'd be all right. I don't think we'll get to the spirit of error tonight. I want to look at the spirit of truth for just a little while. And we may be there a while. I don't know. But let's see what God would have. You remember when Pilate said, "What is truth?" If somebody asks you tonight, "What is truth?" I'm not going to call on anybody, but what would you say? Brother Steve, what is truth? Okay. Okay, who said that word of God? Okay, you got a verse for that, Brother Wayne? That's true. How about John 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God's truth, amen. Absolute, settled in glory, amen. This right here, beloved, is what everything ought to be. When it said try the spirits, right there is what you try them by. You can't try them by the way you feel. You can't try them by the way you look. Say amen. Listen, you can believe what's right and have a crowd, and you can believe what's wrong and have a crowd. But you can't believe what's wrong and have the Christ. You must believe what's right in order to have the Christ. Pilate said, "What is truth?" In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You don't know how many times in the ministry someone has said to me, "You're awfully narrow-minded." I like it. Just as narrow as that book. We can't afford to get outside of that book. We have no authority. Listen, I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher. I am not a foreteller. I'm not a prophet telling something that's going to happen that I don't know, but I am a foreteller of the truth of the Word of God. Amen? I have no authority outside of the book. I want to ask you a question tonight, and here's where I'm going with this. How many knows tonight where truth is first mentioned in the Bible? I didn't know it till this morning. How many understands that the first mention of a doctrine or something in the Word of God is important, and that theme will be carried out through the Word of God? Y'all understand that tonight? Amen? That's what the importance of that first mention. So, I guess since I don't have any volunteers tonight, turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. Amen? Listen, don't feel bad. I didn't know either. I just thought, Lord, when was the first time truth was mentioned in the Word of God? And it's important to see this tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 24. How many remembers what happened in Genesis chapter 22? Anybody remember? That's when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. You remember that? God required that of Abraham. Abraham, the Word of God said, "Believe God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Some people say, well, there's an Old Testament way and there's a New Testament way. But really, you can round it all up in this. The only way to heaven's always been by the blood, and it's always been by believing God. And so, in Genesis chapter 22, you know, Abraham was instructed to take Isaac, and Isaac said, "Behold the wood, behold the fire. Where's the lamb?" He's looking at his dad saying, "Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the lamb?" And that's when Abraham made that great prophetic statement. He did not say God will provide, this is the way it's quoted so many times, for himself a lamb. That's not what Abraham said. He said God will provide himself a lamb. I believe right there in Genesis chapter 22, beloved, listen, God was telling us Just like, listen, the coats of skins, the animals had to be slayed after Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that the blood sacrifice would put off the sin of the people. But listen, there was coming a day when the Lamb of God would not put them off, but take them away. That's what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Now look at chapter number 24 and verse number 1. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. It's good. Abraham was old, like a lot of us, well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. Listen, Abraham's talking now. Abraham's saying, son, you just go do what I'm telling you to do. Promise me you'll do what I'm telling you to do. And God's going to take care of it. Amen. But I want you to see something. It's awesome tonight. The Bible said he'll send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware unto him concerning the matter. And his servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Buddy, this is a tall order when you think about it. But you know what he's doing? He's praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes, he's in a sense putting out a fleece. He don't want to miss God. He wants to make sure he gets the right woman. Beloved, I'll tell you something right now. That's important even in this generation. For a young man to get the right woman and a young woman to get the right man. It's important. Watch this. And by the way, prayer will help that process. You'll not get the right one with your eyes. You'll get the right one with a heart for God. Watch this now. He said here, make the camels drink also. Let the same be she that hath appointed from thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. It came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, I love that, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. I'm going somewhere if you'll stay with me. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough. And she ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" How many believes the servant already knows business is picking up? Amen. Watch this now. And she said unto him, "I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If we can just halfway get what God's saying to us tonight, we'll bow our head too. The Word of God said he bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. Here's what he said. "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his..." Hallelujah. "And his truth, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at tonight?" Listen to me carefully. 1 John is written about knowing that you're saved, knowing that you have eternal life. 1 John is written about loving one another. And by this, all men, Jesus said, would know that you're my disciples. But when you go back and look at the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the very first time truth is mentioned in the Bible is when Abraham was looking for a bride for his son Isaac. I tell you, beloved, you follow the theme of truth through the Word of God, through the Old Testament, through the Psalms, through the New Testament. And God is still in our generation seeking out a bride. That's why it's important, beloved, that we live the truth and preach the truth and love one another and love God whom we have not seen. Amen. It's important tonight because the servant, you say, "Preacher, what's that servant's name?" Well, some think it's Eliezer. I don't know for sure. I kind of think it's pretty good that he don't have a name in the text. I believe the servant is a type of the Holy Ghost. How many believes the Holy Ghost is still looking for a bride? He's not looking for a bride for Isaac. Isaac in the Word of God is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is a type of the Father. And because of truth, beloved, listen, God wants the truth proclaimed. God wants us to walk in truth, to live in truth, because he knows that's the way that people are going to be saved by the grace of God. What a blessing tonight to think about this theme carried throughout the Word of God. The truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You know what happens when a person's made free? They're placed in the bride and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just got ready for eternity. Now when Jesus comes and he calls his bride home, they're part of that bride that he died for on Calvary's cross. There was a substitute, beloved, listen, for Isaac. The ram was caught in the thicket. And the ram that day would die. And Isaac would go free. But I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus didn't get to go free. He was the substitute for you. He was the substitute for me. And he's still seeking out a bride tonight. What a blessing that is. You say, "Preacher, why is it important that we think about the first mention?" Let me give you this. Did you notice there that truth is coupled with mercy? Did you notice that the servant said, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me"? Let me give you this tonight. How many believes when we get on the outs with each other as Christians that we just got out of the way? Help me tonight. Now, we get out of the way, the Lord ain't leading. Say amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what the big deal is. I'll tell you what the big deal is. People are watching you and watching me. And we ought to be loving one another. We're going to read more scripture as we get on into the message in 1 John a little bit later on in verse number 4, in chapter number 4. The Bible said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What a blessing tonight. What a blessing. I thought about not only how the Bible opens, Brother Steve, with truth. God's looking for a bride. He's seeking out a bride. Watch this. Let me give you a few verses on how God's closing. We read in your hearing tonight over there in 1 John chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse 6, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I said this not too long ago. When somebody stands up and reads out of another Bible, I have no idea what Bible they're reading out of. And by the way, by the grace of God, say amen. There ain't going to be no other Bible here. Amen. I don't know what Bible they're reading out of, but I know what Bible they're not reading out of. How many believes we ought to be that familiar with the book? So if somebody come along and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, we'd say, whoops. There ought to be a whoops right there. Somebody comes over there, in whom we have redemption, and leaves out the phrase, through his blood. There ought to be a whoops right there. He said, preacher, I don't know why you want to hammer on that. I'm not hammering, believe me. But I want to expose error, because that's what John said we needed to do. We're supposed to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Anybody got a good sharp pocket knife on you tonight? I don't have mine tonight. Mine's good and sharp, too. I cut myself with it last time I had it out, like a razor blade. Who's got a good sharp pocket knife on him tonight? Bring it up here, Brother Gary. Hurry. Hurry, right quick. Don't throw it at me. Bring it up here tonight. I don't know how sharp it is, but it's a pocket knife. I asked for a good sharp pocket knife. Okay, you can sit down. I'll give it back to you directly. Brother Steve, I'd like to cut a few words out of your Bible. That be all right? Brother Steve's got some aluminum crutches and a wife, and he says, no. Brother Ike, can I come and cut? I just want to cut a few words. Not even one verse. You know what I believe? I believe the Bible talks about a jot and a tittle. I believe, Brother Gary, we ought to so love the Bible that you're not even going to get a period out of my Bible, preacher. You're not even going to get a comma out of my Bible, preacher. You take your knife and go home. And yet today, the Word of God is being slaughtered. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. I'll lay your knife right here, Brother Gary. I'll close it, even though it is so sharp it would bruise you if you got too close to the blade. Amen. I believe tonight, when the Bible said, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, I believe the Holy Spirit exposes those things to us. And we know right quickly something's wrong. Something's wrong. Years ago, I started to study. I got saved. I was very, enthusiastic. I had a lot of zeal. I didn't have a lot of knowledge and still don't, but had a lot of zeal. And I wanted to study all the cults and all the isms. And I believe you ought to know a little bit about what people believe, you know what I mean? But I don't believe you ought to get head over heels in that. I believe there's actually a danger in that, especially for a new convert. God delivered me, Brother Larry. Here's how he did it. A man came to our church to preach revival that used to be a banker. A banker of all things. God called him to preach. And he told us in that meeting, he said, when I was a banker, he said, many times people would ask me, how in the world do you all keep up with all that counterfeit money? Here's what he said. We don't. He said, you don't? No, he said, we don't. He said, all we ever do at the bank is study real money. And he said, when a counterfeit comes along, it sticks out like a sore thumb. I believe tonight that ought to be our attitude towards this Bible. Just get our nose in it and study it and read it and love it. And when a counterfeit comes along, it'll stick out like a sore thumb. The Spirit of Truth. The Bible said in 1 John 5, I'll give you a couple of verses and we'll finish up tonight. 1 John 5 and verse number 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we have Jesus is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. There's no reason for God's people not to walk in truth. Watch this now. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 John. I'm just giving you these last few verses in the Bible concerning truth. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, 2 John 1:1, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Look at 2 John chapter 1 and verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us, what's those next two words? Hallelujah. Ain't that good? Amen. I wonder, Brother Steve, if a hillbilly like me can get so excited sitting at the table and studying, looking at that first mention and thinking about the bride and all the way through, the truth is here because God's gathering a bride. I wonder what it's going to be like when I get there and really just understand all the truth. What a blessing that's going to be. Watch this now. 2 John 1:3, grace be with you and mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. 2 John 1:4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Say, preacher, what's it mean to walk in truth? It means that our walk lines up with this book. Ain't that right? That's what it means. It means my walk lines up with this book. 3 John chapter 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Look at these next few, and I'm done. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. John got excited when the brethren came and testified that the church was walking in truth. I believe that makes the Savior smile. Watch what the Bible said in 3 John chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Well, there's only one chapter, you get it. But anyway, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You remember the message Sunday morning? I preached Sunday morning on some things that thrill a pastor's heart. You remember that? John, the pastor John right here, said there's not one thing that brings joy to me more than to hear that God's children are walking in truth. Look at 3 John verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, wait a minute. Brother Gary, it looks like to me, I'm not real smart, but if I can be a helper to the truth, it looks like that I have in me the capacity to be a hindrance to the truth. Is that right or wrong? If I can be a helper, and I should be, then I have the capacity to hinder. God wants to use our church. He wants to use our lives. He wants to use our families to be a stepping stone for that individual that does not know Christ to Him. So if God's wanting to use us to be a stepping stone, somebody tell me what the devil's wanting to do. He's wanting to use us to be a stumbling block. No wonder John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And Demetrius in 3 John 12 hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I say tonight, if we could leave here with this on our mind, God help us to walk in truth. As it's mentioned the first time in the Word of God, and God is looking for a bride for His son Isaac. You say, preacher, how do you know that God's still looking for a bride? Because I'm still here. Brother Larry, when that bride is made up, when that bride is complete, I'm checking out. I'm going home. I'm not in any hurry to go home, but I tell you, I would like to go on the big load. Little boy got saved. I wish Tyler was in here. He'd enjoy this. Little boy got saved, and preacher got up a couple weeks later preaching on the second coming of Jesus. And how many of you wants to go? And all the people were excited. They were raising their hands. The little boy just sat there. The preacher said to the little boy after church, he said, son, I thought you got saved a couple weeks ago. He said, I did. He said, well, I noticed when I asked how many wants to go tonight, he said, you just sat there while everybody else was raising their hand. He said, oh, preacher, he said, I thought you was getting up a load for tonight. He wanted to go to heaven, just not tonight, amen. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? But I tell you, the big load will be all right tonight. Be all right tonight. Spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Maybe Sunday night, I'm not sure how to go. I've been trying to stay in 1 John on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But maybe Sunday night we'll come back and I don't know what God's going to do. He may build on this. I don't know. But I know already that we're going to look at the first mention of the spirit of error. John is talking here about false prophets. That's dealing in a religious realm, isn't it? He's not talking about the barroom crowd. These are people that are proclaiming to be something that they're not. And they're, listen to me, people talk about murderers and these, what you call them, serial murderers and all that. I'm telling you, I believe hell be hotter for somebody besides them. And that's men that stood and proclaim something that is not truth. People many times are following them in groves because they won't take the time to open the Bible and read it for themselves. Brother Steve, I thank God for the 16, 17, 18, once in a while 20, once in a while 12 people that go out visiting. But those people that are going out without the truth, a whole lot more of them go out. A whole lot more faithful. Say amen. Amen. Why is it that when you see somebody coming across your lawn this day and time, you think they're either a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness? I tell you why, because God's people quit doing what they're supposed to be doing. Am I right or wrong? Before I was saved, I was 27 years old when I was saved. Before I was saved, two men in 27 years on two different occasions knocked on my door with the truth. and I'll never forget it. Brother Houston, you should have been there in that Sunday morning service in Maryland when the little snotty-nosed bus kid showed up with his family. God, having saved me, called me to preach. Ended up preaching in that service that morning. It's a blessing. Brother Gary, how do you think my Sunday school teacher felt? How would you feel, Brother Gary, if one of them boys that you've taught, the pulpit committee calls a man and he ends up being one of them boys, come stand in this pulpit? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Good night. God's able. Amen. He's able. He's able. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you know the truth? Amen. Father, I pray you bless the word of God now and help us go out of here, Lord, this week and walk in truth. Lord, even when I was lost, I was able to discern what was real and what was not. Thank you, dear Lord, for the truth. I pray, Lord, you'll bless each one that's come this way tonight. Help us, we pray, as we go into the business meeting now. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.